Deep in the farthest recesses of the most distant jungle lies a city. A city populated by the most mysterious, terrifying, and downright grotesque denizens ever seen by mortal eye. Here, in the darkened corners of this cavernous locale, sits an ordinary, average brick building with an innocuous, ordinary, average blinking neon sign which reads, On Air. It is here where each week, Seth Breedlove and Mark Matzke convene to discuss the greatest mysteries the world has ever known. Now, zip up your leather pants, slap on the clown paint, and don't forget to eat something light as we begin our journey through Monsteropolis.
Hi, and welcome to a very special episode of Monsteropolis. Monsteropolis on the trail of UFOs, behind the scenes slash investigative look at a real UFO sighting. So the plan for today, I don't know if this will actually happen, but the plan for today is I'm with Shannon right now.
Hello.
And we are heading, we're back in Ohio after our intensive East Coast shoot. We are heading right now to interview a UFO witness that I am friends with. And for our Wadsworth slash Medina County area witnesses, this will be, or witnesses, listeners, this will be very interesting because this is a local sighting. So we're going to go interview a witness to a UFO sighting that took place in Barberton. And we're going to interview him, and then we are going to go to the location of his sighting and do a little bit of work, and hopefully it'll be an interesting episode and a little different from what we normally do, but the plan here is to take the Zoom in, record the entire interview that we conduct with this witness, and then that will be this episode of Monsteropolis. So we're gonna go, we're on a back road right now somewhere in Medina County heading toward his house, so we'll be back in a minute. What's up, man?
How you doing?
Hello.
Oh, the little guy.
Hi, Shannon.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Hey, guys.
What's this dog's name again?
DC. Hey. That's Pixel there.
Pixel. Yeah. I thought so.
Makes sense.
How you doing?
Hey, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for doing this. I'm excited to hear the story.
Yeah, it's not a huge story, but, you know.
It's cool.
It doesn't have to be. I mean, just a few seconds all it takes, right?
All right, so, yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right, I'm just going to put you... Did your sister come or no?
No, she couldn't make it.
That's fine. I'll put you... basically, like, we want this to be as chill as humanly possible, sir. Okay, just start by telling us... what we've been doing is, like, asking people to tell us their name and their connection to the UFO subject. So if you get that, you can just say I'm Lamer.
Okay, my name's Dan Weiss. Saw the UFO, I think I was about 9 or 10 years old, so I was around 92-ish. Mm-hmm. What else do you want?
That's it. Okay. Can you talk about, talk about like the area where we are, just to sort of establish.
Okay, it's Barberton, Ohio, and it's directly behind, which would be to the east of this restaurant called Belgrade Gardens. It's a chicken warehouse kind of thing.
In Barberton.
Yeah, Barberton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're in, North Ohio.
Right.
Right. Okay. So, I'm just putting everything on this table the rest of the interview, I guarantee. So I guess walk us through the story sort of from the beginning.
Okay. It's a warm summer night. My sister, Stacy, she's a few years older than I am. Excuse me. She says, let's go for a walk. I think back then there wasn't as much, you know, video games and stuff to stay inside. Plus, we were staying at my grandma's house while our home was being built in Norton. So we didn't really have friends around there, and we were just like, let's go for a walk, you know. So we take a walk, and we go around the block here. Here's the house. We just go around the block, and we go over here one street over, and we start heading down this hill. And we can see Belgrade Gardens out here to the, you know, to my right, and there's this big tree line behind there. And suddenly we saw it, and it's just like they describe in books and videos, you know. It's like a saucer. It seems so crazy, but this thing's huge. And it's coming from the south. It's kind of higher up on the tree level, the tree line. It's coming from the south. It's kind of moving to the north, and it's coming down slowly as it goes. I think it was in my field of vision for 6 to 8 seconds. So it was relatively slow moving, and it had kind of a humming noise, like a light humming noise, you know? It's just covered in lights. And it seems so silly, like I was explaining earlier. It seems so silly to be covered in lights, you know? Just everything's exactly how people describe it, seeing a UFO. But I think what gets me the most is, in research, looking at stuff like this, whenever I've looked up videos or images of UFOs, I really don't ever see anything like I saw. Usually it's like, the video will be like a series of lights way far out. Like you can't see any detail or anything. And they're here and they're gone. But this thing was clear and present, and it was just, and it just slowly moved below the tree line and it was gone.
How big?
How big?
Do you have a comparison to
Yeah, if we were in that spot, I think I could tell you. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to think of how I would explain it earlier if we went out there. From where I was standing, and like I said, the field of view is probably, before you reach the tree line where we were, it's probably 3 football fields in length away. And from there, I imagine if I held maybe a football in front of me, maybe a bit smaller, it'd be like that big.
Because I remember you compared it to like, when I talked to you about it, you compared it to like the size of your house.
Is what you thought. I would imagine,
about that big.
Maybe even bigger, maybe twice the size.
Jeez.
Yeah, like if you were standing in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Windows? Like, could you see windows or anything like that on
it? I couldn't see windows. Just absolutely covered in lights. You know, blues, yellows, greens, reds.
Mm-hmm.
And I, talking on the phone with my sister Lindy last night, you know, like I said, she was so ecstatic about it, like more into the story than I was. I said it was covered in lights, right? And I go, you know what it actually looked like was that ride at the fair. It's called the rotor. You ever hear of that?
Mm-hmm.
You get in, it spins super fast, and you stick to the walls. I said that ride looked like a spaceship because that's how they designed it to look like. So, you know, and it's covered in lights. And she goes, that's exactly what it looked like. I looked up a picture on Google if you wanted to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
I saved it as a screenshot because it just looks so much like that.
Yeah.
Did your sisters have any other details that you hadn't seen or noticed or forgotten?
I tried to, maybe I should have pressed her more on that, but look, it's the Starship 4000.
So that's,
there's our UFO.
Wow.
So apparently someone put that on a winch and threw it in the sky for a few minutes. Wow. I don't know.
Was there lights on, or, you know, around the whole thing on the top of the dome and as well as underneath?
No, I think it was, I don't think there was lights, at least from my point of view. I don't think there was lights on top or bottom. I think it was just, you know, you got just in the face of it.
Yeah.
No windows?
Not that I...
Well, you were telling us when we got here about your sister sort of recollecting what she saw. Can you talk about that? Like what she said she remembered?
Yeah, I had it recorded, and it, like I said, it only caught my side. I could probably talk to her again. But she seemed to say, and I know she said, I don't remember the exact details, but she was more detailed in her description than I was, because not of the spaceship. She saw less than we did, because she was like, she could see it through the trees or something. She was in a different road. But she knew for a fact, she goes, she used directional. She goes, you guys were moving this east and I was moving west, you know, on this road. And you had just seen it and said, oh, did you see it? And I said, yes, I saw it, you know. And then she said, we're going back home that night, which again, it's just around the block. It's like a 3-minute walk. She said, we were going back home that night. And the neighbor guy, who I think he was about 16, 18, he said that he definitely saw it too. And I don't remember if I got his testimony or if that was her, but it'd be interesting if you could go like maybe door to door right in that little spot.
Yeah.
There might be a lot of people that still live there, you know.
Yeah.
When I talk to you about this, one thing that's always hit me is you get almost like giddy about it. It's funny because it's not how if I saw a UFO, I think it'd be terrifying. Like that's how I always expect it. So what do you think the origin?
I've asked my father about it before. You know, I'm a Christian, like you know, and I don't believe in aliens. I believe that God created mankind, and I don't think there's any other civilizations or anything like that. Maybe it's possible, but I don't think so. But So I think it's government.
Why? Like, is there something about the incident that puts that idea?
Why? Like I said, I think it's absurd to think the government would put, if they had some kind of secret ship, that they would cover it in lights for the world to see. So I don't know. I heard one other theory, and I think my father gave me this, was he said, because we believe that there's, you know, spirits of darkness, you know, kind of thing. And I think they have some power, as you can see in the Bible. Maybe they put some kind of images for people to see, different things. Maybe a spaceship for me, maybe a Sasquatch for someone else. I don't know. And so that the people maybe steer clear of searching for God because they say, oh, there's aliens, there can't be a God because the Bible's wrong or something, you know?
Do you think that they maybe put the lights on there to see if people would report it and how they'd react if it was government?
Can you explain your question again?
I mean, just kind of a, not a psyop, but just an experiment. You know, they okay. put it in the sky where they think probably at least a few people are going to see it. And then they watch the news or they check the local papers to see if anyone reports it.
I've never thought of that. And I'm not sure what would be the point of that. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Can you talk about the area today? Like, how soon after this happened did they fence it off?
Well, I don't know if it was fenced off before or after or if it always was. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll go back and look at that road. Mm-hmm. I used to ride my dirt bike back there. I had a 50cc little thing and me and my buddy would ride on it together. Mm-hmm. This is when I was 8, 9 years old, like I said. Probably 9 or 10, actually.
But it landed. I don't know when it was. There?
I can't say that it landed. Mm-hmm. I can just say it's coming. There's a tree line. Yeah. It's coming. It's getting lower on the tree line. And then it goes below. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah. Did you hear anything after it went below the tree line?
No.
No, like hiss or...
So then
no.
The hum was just gone? Once you couldn't see it, you couldn't hear the hum anymore?
I think the humming disappeared right about then, too.
Can you describe the hum at all?
Just like, real steady.
Like that?
No. Yeah. It's a steady, you know... humming, it didn't vary, it didn't go oh
like
an
electrical box or something, just steady on.
Yeah, but it had to have been loud for me to hear it from
yeah.
What would that be, 300-400 yards away.
Is there an Air Force base around? Oh, there
I
at wouldn't all?
I don't think so.
But closest would be the closest big Air Force base is Wright Pat or what, hour and a half.
That would be up near Kent or that's something
Dayton.
Like that?
Dayton.
Okay.
That's like an hour and a half. So more than likely you saw an alien mothership.
Right.
That's the obvious answer here.
Well, let's... I want to go out there and see it. Do you have anything else?
No, because most of the other stuff would be... I'd like to talk to him about it there.
And I'm going
to
drone up there, too. Hopefully, we don't get the drone shot out of the sky, but I'm going to fly my drone up
That'd
there, too.
That'd be great for the doc, man.
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking forward to going out there, because...
Have you been out there in a while, or...?
Well, my grandma lives there, so I visit her, but... Okay. I drive by the... area and I probably picture it in my mind and keep going, you know.
Yeah.
But I haven't gone down that road or gone back in the woods or anything like that.
Right. You probably
save that.
Yeah, I was gonna.
I would go back there okay. now if you guys wanted to.
Yes,
but
let's do it.
As a kid, I was like, no.
Yeah.
When we used to play back
I want Katie to, because I'm recording this, I want Katie to talk about that, the salt mines, because I've never heard that.
That's a cool aspect to
it. Hey, Katie.
Yeah.
Can you come here for a sec?
We need you.
Dog
he wanted just to capture your voice, I think.
Yeah, can you tell? Well, no. Can you talk about like the history of that area again? Because I didn't get that.
Okay.
Are you sure of this? How do you? Is this from your dad or your dad has a friend? You said
no, that my has. Dad's been down there.
Oh.
Yeah, come here. Can I hold it?
Or yeah.
Do you want to put this mic on her?
Cool.
Yeah. Do you want her to have the lab mic?
Let's put this on.
Actually, as long yeah, why not? You don't even yeah. What are these noises?
I'm gonna go out there. Oh, I'm excited.
He took me out there once, and I was like,
just sit down real quick.
I didn't take you out there.
I'm a wreck. I didn't even shower today.
No, you're good. We're not even. More than likely, I'm not gonna use this in the doc. Yeah. I just want it to have at least the audio from it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, go ahead. So the history of Barberton, you were talking about like
so salt there's mining. Well, they did the salt mining where Morton Salt in Rittman,
mm-hmm.
that's where they would mine all their salt, and these mines supposedly go all the way down to Lake Erie, but this is where they mined a lot of the salt. But that's why a lot, it's caving. There's all the property in Wadsworth at the, on Johnson Road, Reimer Road, all those areas, there's houses sinking from those mines that are settling now.
And Lake Erie is like at maybe 45 minutes to the north, right?
Or yeah, an it's probably like 30 miles if you just go straight shot without the roads.
Yeah. So supposedly you said there's mines down there that go like miles.
Yeah, but well, they're miles under the ground, but they're so big that there's just legit giant earth movers still down there. They don't know how to get them out.
Is there any way we can get down there? Who can?
I mean, there might be possibly. So Dorothy Lake is privately owned now, but they're just regular normal people.
Yeah. They can't get the earth movers out?
Yeah.
The ground's too fragile to...
I don't know if they just don't, if they're scared to get them out or what it is. I don't know if maybe the way they got them in collapsed. I'm not sure, but they're still down there.
Yeah. Jeez. Super interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Cause I know, well, see, the creek that's behind my parents' house is connected to that lake. And a few years back, something happened and the entire lake drained down into the creek. And
this is the same creek that you,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it flooded that whole creek out. Yeah. And we were getting like these weird fish and all this kinds of weird stuff coming down the creek because we were like, what's going on? Our street was flooding out where the creek went under on Medina Line there in Wadsworth. Mm-hmm. And we're like, what is going on? This is so crazy. And we found out that they actually were trying to empty that lake for some reason. And we didn't know why. But yeah, the history of the whole like, do you know where like in Barberton the Barber Mansions are?
Yeah.
Down through there. So that was where the Underground Railroad went.
Oh, shoot.
So you can actually enter the Underground Railroad through Loyal Oak Tavern in Norton right there.
Yeah, yeah.
In their basement, you can go down in there. So yeah, they have
so we just got to find out who can get us down. Because if I could get down in those mines and like film something, that would be awesome. Even if it's just to like film an entrance to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said your dad's been down there?
Yeah, but it's been so many years.
Is it still his equipment in there?
It's not his. It's a friend of his I know that they had an earth mover down there.
Yeah.
Man.
So he swears that he knows that there's still those earth movers down there.
Okay.
Because he was just talking about this a couple weeks ago. He goes, could you know about those earth movers? And I was like, what? Because he has, there's two buildings on his property that are up the hill from the creek. And they have holes for entrances. We were always told that they were well entrances, but they're very sophisticated.
No kidding.
Yeah, so... You can.
That's where the UFOs are all buried, man.
You think so?
Do you know? Because he's seen the buildings back. You've seen the buildings, right? Behind my dad's house. They're like, they're little brick huts.
Yeah.
But they have holes. And I mean, you just, they're not blocked off or anything. It's funny. They're probably a public hazard.
Yeah, that doesn't sound super safe.
I don't know how. I guess people go down there. But there's still the cinder paths where they were doing a lot of the mining along on my dad's property. Yeah, but. It's all intertwined and connected.
Yeah.
All through there. Yeah. So it's funny too, though, because the property where he saw that UFO, it is, I think, essentially government property. It's the school. I don't know if they own that. He's like, but it all is. There's a lot of, because the government also took over the Barber Mansions. That's and the all
government,
that. The
government right now telling you to stop.
Stop it.
Stop talking.
Don't talk about the humming.
Stop. So that phone will do that like over and over for hours at night, and I'm like, what the world?
It's a businessman. It's a bug. You're good.
Okay.
You can take it
Thank
off.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I still wish I could have looked and found something for that area, like someone in the news, or something. Or
well, just a cursory Google search like that isn't going to turn out. Give me like some time, and I'll go through like the newspaper archives and stuff, and I can find that kind of stuff out.
Yeah, a newspaper would be more likely, probably.
Yeah. Well, a newspaper or even like if we contact, because someone's going to, if someone thought, they more than likely contacted the police an adult saw and they didn't know what it was.
Oh, that'd be so cool if you like looked at police reports
and then,
and you saw, July 31st of whatever.
Is that the date? Do you have the date?
I don't know the date,
okay.
No.
Well, your sister was.
I could probably get a month.
You got him real excited for a second. Yeah.
Well, it was summer. It was summer and.
Yeah, see, that gets iffy if you don't have, like, a date. If we can have a date, we more than likely, if someone reported it, you'd find it.
But at least we can narrow it. You said it was summertime, right?
Yeah.
Warmer out. At least there's that.
My parents would probably... Yeah, I almost think it would be cool if you guys... when you guys planning to go back to that spot?
as soon as we leave here.
I mean, not back, but
she,
over
she
to
flies. Point. She flies back to Vegas like tonight. So.
Oh, you're gonna go back today, like now.
Yeah, we're going as soon as we're done here.
Yeah.
I might go with you guys.
Oh yeah.
Heck yeah.
I mean.
Do you want to save, like you said, all the personal
yes,
stuff
we'll do
for
that there?
There. Awesome.
Yeah, we'll do that there.
That would not be.
Okay, I'll go with you guys. I had a thing going, but I'll skip it.
Nice.
It's a silly thing.
Because some people never talk about this stuff, and others kind of look for a reason to not bring it up when maybe they think people won't think they're crazy.
Yeah. I'm not like that. I don't really worry if someone thinks I'm crazy. I don't care. I've told friends over the years just randomly, and I'm kind of a sarcastic person a lot of times, so sometimes they don't know if I'm, was he being serious? They probably say on the way home, or you know, their eyes kind of go wide and they're like, why are you talking about
like
this?
That was a heck of a story. Yeah.
This is a weird thing. And I'm the kind of person that I want to delve on the details and describe it, and I want to, you know, I'm like, oh, I'll draw you a picture real quick and show you how cool it was, and they're just like, do we have to? So I kind of just shut up.
Details are important.
The size of it always stood out to me, because it seeing something that large, I haven't talked to too many people who've seen a low to the ground UFO like that. They recalled seeing that kind of like scope, not that low.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, there was a time, it's probably a few years ago, where I said, I'm gonna really research this, and I'm gonna find something. I'm gonna try to find something that matches what I saw, and I just couldn't do it. You know, there's videos that come to mind of these series of lights that form a triangle, and there's a triangle here, a triangle, and it's somewhere out, you know, west or somewhere someone saw, and there's these things that just go, you know, and they're gone. But this thing was like, it's like I'm here, and it's like, oh, you know, and it's just covered in lights. It just made a real statement, you know.
And I'm sorry, how many seconds did you see it start to finish?
I think it was in the sky 6 to 8, maybe 10 seconds. And I'm trying to be conservative with everything I tell you.
Yeah.
Because I was 9, 10 years old. And I'm trying not to embellish anything.
I got to see something weird when I was a teenager, and it was 5 seconds. But when you actually count it out, mm-hmm. for a sighting that is on, it's a long time. And it definitely sticks with you, you know? So that's a long time, 10 seconds.
You said 5 seconds, though?
Up
so
to,
you saw it come across the sky? Was that
his? Was, no, no, mine was
how
five. His was up
it?
To 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
I'd say 6, 8, 10 seconds.
That's still
yeah.
a really quick period of time, considering you saw it come across the sky and then hover down behind those trees. Like, what can move that quickly, technology-wise? What can move that quickly, come down? Like, how... Do you have an estimate, or can you remember like how long it was in the sky before it started dropping down behind the trees?
That's a good question, and after you guys interviewed me earlier, I started thinking, well, where did I first see it, or how, you know, how long might it have been in the sky before I even caught a glimpse of it? I think it was a situation where you can kind of see how the trees are here on the right, and there's like an opening. Mm-hmm. I think we were coming down the road, and you know, it just came out from the trees. So I don't know how long it might have been in the sky before we saw it, or I don't know. I don't remember it just appearing.
Yeah.
I think it was just, we're coming down the road and it comes out from the trees on the side of the road that were close to me. Told Katie last night, he said, what are the odds that I would see something like this and then years later, like, I would have access to someone who can actually
right.
research more maybe and document it.
So do you think that that's interesting for me, just from my perspective, is like, is it important to you that it's documented in some way, or is it more like,
whatever, you know, like I'm going to have it with me forever because it's my story.
I think it's important as so much as that it'd be nice to know if there's anyone else who saw something similar, mm-hmm. or if they do in the future, you could point back to this and say, okay, we've seen it before.
So we are just wrapping up with Dan Weiss, and we're heading back toward Wadsworth after a few hours that were pretty awesome, actually. What did you think of his story and the interview?
Well, what's funny is because one of the first things that he said was, well, I mean, my story's pretty boring. There's really not a lot to it. But once you hear it, it's not boring at all, and there's plenty to it.
Yeah, you know one, not to cut you off immediately, but you know one thing I got as we were driving home and he was talking about other witnesses, I kind of feel like this could be the start of a case that you spend a lot of time investigating and looking into and corroborating.
Right.
Because what he's describing is one tiny piece of something much bigger, whatever it is. If it's something totally mundane that we can get to the bottom of or whatever, other people saw whatever landed. There's no way that they didn't see that thing hover over the trees, possibly land. There's no way in that setting at that time of day that other people didn't see it. So, to me, this could just be the start of something. If we can find other people to corroborate that story, if we can find other people to interview about what they might have seen or interview about the history of that woods, what goes on in there.
If the time frame matches up. And what about what his wife Katie said about you get something the size of earth movers, and yes, it was supposed to be a salt mine, but what if there is some kind of a tie in there?
Yeah.
To where you could put something as large as what Dan saw and his sisters underground.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try to get us into one of these caves or mines or whatever, because I've never heard that. Like, and I believe Katie has heard that. It's so crazy to think that's the case, especially when you're talking miles of mines. If she's talking about going all the way to Lake Erie, you're talking like 30 miles of mines.
But when they dug out Mount Weather, I mean, we know there's underground tunnels and massive projects that we probably don't even know the scope of. So, and I heard you talking to Dan about how strange it is that it would be around here in Barberton, but I don't see why not.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. Okay. Guy was hungry.
I thought he was going to just slam into us. Yeah, it starts a deceptively simple sighting story, but the details really make it stand out. The fact that he saw it with his siblings, the fact that there was another person that saw it, the size of the object they saw, and then where it occurred is really, really fascinating. I'm super glad that he was willing to talk to us about it, and that we that we didn't just decide to call it a day or call it a trip yesterday.
Yeah.
And quit filming, because I think this is going to really help the series and be like a really important piece of the overall story that we're telling.
I mean, maybe by the time we go out to LA, we'll have some more information on just that area.
Yeah.
And if the dates do line up, if he could find out or at least narrow down the month or a couple of weeks for us.
Yeah.
We can look at some. I mean, what do you do? You're going to go to library, look at microfiche?
No, I mean, I can look up the Barberton Herald is on newspapers.com. I could look that up on the Barberton website. I can do microfiche too, but there's also the police reports are the biggest thing. It's like I told him, 91, 92, you're an older person, you're outside, you're an adult. You're sitting outside your house and you see something like that in the sky. You're reporting it to the police. Someone reported it to the police if it was seen. So definitely we're going to contact the police. But the big thing there is going to be getting a date nailed down. If we can get a date, I can almost guarantee we'll find corroborating reports.
Yeah. something that size. I mean,
yeah.
I wonder how many people were, what the population was around this area back then.
Barberton's the same as it's always been.
Oh.
So, you know, I mean, the other thing you could do, if we can get the date, we can get other, we can try to dredge up other reports from the surrounding area, mm-hmm. something that would match that description, at least the lighting. The only other thing I thought of, and I thought of this more recently, is the Goodyear blimp. You know, Akron, the Goodyear blimp.
Do they ever put lights on those?
There's lights on it, I believe.
On the actual dirigible portion and not the cabin?
Yeah, it's not like that, no. I mean, but again, I'm just trying come up with sort of alternate ideas on what it could have been. And when you're talking, you know, Goodyear blimp is Akron, so you're 15 miles away from where they launched that.
Well, something else about this area, and we're literally driving through out from Dan's house now. Obviously, the trees would have been shorter at his sighting location back then.
Mm-hmm.
And it is typical Ohio where there's dense woods, and then you go down another road, and now we're driving amongst an open area, farm. You know, cornfields, open fields, massive open fields. So once it dipped down, and he did admit they pretty much left after a few seconds, mm-hmm. turned tail and left. But it could have stayed low enough for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, there's probably houses around there at that point. But then all of a sudden, there are these open fields. There had to have been more people seeing this.
Yeah, other people saw it, especially in a city. Barberton's huge. And it's part of Akron. So again, when he's talking about it coming from the sky where they saw it coming from, that would be in the direction of Canton, Akron.
Yeah.
You know, like you're kind of in between Canton, Akron there, and those are both huge cities. Someone saw it. It's the other thing about his sighting that really makes me scratch my head is how abruptly he's talking 10 seconds to see a craft come out of the sky, move across the sky, and almost land behind some trees. That is, I understand 10 seconds in that moment probably seems like a year, but that is a very short period of time for something like that to happen. Whatever that thing was, I had to have been looking at.
Well, and keep in mind, everybody, that when we were out at his sighting location, he put his whole fist up in front of his face, and if you hold your fist up right now, he said that's what it would have taken to cover the craft. I think he said that would cover the whole craft, right?
And that's at a distance of 400 yards.
Yeah.
So you're... That's a huge...
Massive.
That's a two-story house. I mean, he said it was, you know, double the size of a two-story house.
Well, the other thing about the lights is, and that's why I asked him, well, do you think they meant you to see it, to see if people would report this? If you can have lights like that, if they have a purpose, we don't know, why don't you just shut them off? Mm-hmm. Something in the interview we didn't mention was, he said it was, I said, what color was the craft? He said it was black. So, I mean, I don't know. If you're flying that thing around at night, especially, turn the light switch off. It'd be a lot more stealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's lit up like the Gravitron at the fair, like you said.
Yeah, when he's saying he thinks it was government, I think it's because the... Objectively, what would, unless they were announcing their presence,
right.
What were the ETs?
What
would the ETs be doing? Yeah. I mean,
and that comes up a lot, you know,
it's so
advanced technology, advanced race, seamless craft that can fly off at these speeds. Why in the world do they need lights?
Yeah.
Unless it's some kind of a byproduct, but he literally pulled up a picture of, we called it something else, I forget,
like
a Gravitron.
Like Spaceship 2000. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And he didn't say anything was weird about the lights or didn't give him any weird feelings. Not that, you know, he didn't seem like it scared him.
Yeah, that's also interesting. But we're hoping we might visit this again. Either way, I mean, it's such a cool story. We're hoping we can come back to this. So
yeah, might have opened up quite the nice little Pandora's box, which we love because then we literally get to be on the trail of a case here locally.
Yeah, this was like a truly like an investigative look at a UFO sighting, which is exactly what we wanted to do. So, if you're a fan of the show, you should leave us a rating and review on iTunes. And if you're local, and you know anything about UFO sightings in Barberton, during the very early 1990s, 91, 92, somewhere in that area, contact us. Let us know. But yeah, for now, that's it. We'll be back.
Bye, everybody.
Monsteropolis is proudly presented on Wadsworth Community Radio 97.1 FM or streaming live at wadsworthcommunityradio.com. It is proudly underwritten by Thurber's Jewelers on the Square in downtown Wadsworth.